What's up, everybody? Back with the part two. Recording some maybe 6 months later, 7 months later. After
June to February, yeah.
Yeah. So, a lot has happened in the past 7 months. We've been pretty crazy busy. Yeah. After we recorded the last video, we had immersion, which was a ton of fun. Also, like, really intense. So I thought, let's just recap that a little bit, immersion. Because we co-taught that along with, as well, with Dorian Gray as well. And we had a few other kind of guest people come in as well. So that was pretty lit. Let's see what... let's kind of go, like, recap it a bit.
Yeah, for sure.
So we had five guys living in, basically, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So they came and lived with us here, and we were basically every day just out there talking to girls, pulling them back, right?
Mm-hmm. It was actually during the rainy season, right?
Yeah.
But it worked out because, like, after the rainy season, it was way too hot. Like, it was way too hot to even go outside. Mm-hmm. So it was actually really good. Like, we were out during the rainy season. We were, like, mostly in underground area, which is good because, like, during the rainy season, basically everybody goes underground, so you just get crazy, like, in traffic. And it was only, like, the second half was in the rainy season, maybe? I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the first half was really not bad. Like, yeah, but we were out every day. We were out, yeah. Basically, every day, right? Yeah, we were out every day.
Yeah.
And, like, the guys were going hard. So we were focusing on, you know, coaching them and like, kind of backing them up. We were also, like, approaching when we were going out, but mostly observing and, you know, kind of redirecting them. So a lot of, like, the big successes, a lot of what went down was mostly because the guys were able to approach some girls and bring them back to the house, or, like, it was, like, a team effort where, like, they went in or I went in and we kind of worked together to bring the girls back to the house. So, I mean, it was really hands-on for them, I think. Basically, we were the coaches and they were, like, the athletes, like, going at it.
Yeah. And, I mean, the cool part was, like, I think it was even the first weekend. I think it started on a Wednesday or something, right?
Yeah.
But by the end of the first weekend, basically everybody had gotten laid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that now. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean it just kept getting more and more crazy, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you said, once the students kind of built a base level of confidence on the street. To the point where they'd be pretty reliably be able to pull, you know, pull a girl on any given day. Not every day, but most days by the end, they mm-hmm. were able to pull mm-hmm. chicks. And then, you know, of course, we would invite them out to, to come by to the house for drinks at any point.
Mm-hmm.
So they were pretty, I mean, every single day there were girls coming over, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, it was the three coaches, the three main coaches. We had other guys, like other, like, really pretty well-known friends, guys in the community who were also participating. So that was, like, five experienced guys, actually six if you count Zach, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, five students. So there was, like, about, you know, like, maybe 12 or 13 of us out in the streets throughout the month. So, I mean, it got to the point where, like, people on the street were like, what's up with all these foreigners doing, like, in the street now, bro? Like,
yeah.
We were on a rampage, and, like,
yeah.
By the end of the month, we were getting pretty well known. But, yeah, I mean, when you have, like, 13 guys out there approaching dozens of chicks, maybe all together, I don't think it would hit, like, 100 a day, but maybe all together we were approaching, like, 40 to 50 chicks. Yeah, it's just bound to get results, right? And
yeah,
I mean, oh, there's yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, for most people, they've never ever done some like that much action in a short period of time. Even people who, you know, who are in game or have been in game for quite a while don't really go out like every day for a month. I mean, I think we had like one rest day. You basically, one of the days was film, one of the days each week was film review, like we're watching infield breakdowns. You know, we had seminars as well, about dating, texting, all that sort of stuff. But for the most part, like even people who have been around, you know, who game a lot don't even game that much, right? It's pretty, right. It's pretty nuts. And it's also a lot easier to do it when you're, when you feel like you're part of a crew, and when you're with a bunch of people and you all share one purpose, one goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and the guys, I mean, everybody improved so much, right?
Yeah.
From the beginning to the end, like people were, you know, consistently able to, you know, pull girls back by the end, and and I think the main, the most, besides the whole community aspect, and apologize for the noise, there is a construction going on right next door, but it is what it is. Yeah, like apart from the, you know, community group aspect, which really motivates people, and you know, the insane amount of action, probably like I think like one of the most valuable things is the fact that the students were able to like learn about escalation and how to kind of take the next step with girls when they're back at the place, when they're back, when you bring a girl back, right? Because you know, in a lot of coaching programs, you only focus on the approach on the beginning. I mean, obviously that's important, incredibly important, because without a good, solid approach, you're not going to get to the later stages of the interaction consistently, right? But the thing that really separates immersion is like students would be seeing how we're escalating, or how we're engaging with girls, you know, when we're back at the house or back at in isolation, right? And they, so that's the kind of stuff that's quite hard to either put out there in terms of like video content, or to coach, really, because you need to have a way to be able to have people observe you, you know, coaches, and as well as you observe them, we observe the students doing their thing with the chicks and be like, okay, next time you got to do it like this, or, you know, so they got a lot of experience learning about how to like isolate, well, how to first pull back to a house, which was the goal basically, because we were all living here and working together here. But also how to like, once you're in the place, you know, basic things you need to do, you know, like, you know, when the girl comes in, get her a drink, like don't just sit down and like twiddle your thumbs or something, right? Get her a drink, make sure there's, you know, music playing, show her around a couple rooms, you know, when the time's right, make sure you're able to, you know, take her somewhere, escalate on her, right? And then also like things like getting in FaceTime with a girl that somebody else brought, right? So like, you know, we would have parties pretty regularly, right? So it's like, and obviously there's some girls, not all girls, but a lot of girls, like once they hook up, once they have sex, I mean, we talked about it the last time, it's like the jar theory, the jar is open, right? So once the jar is open, it's pretty easy for another guy to kind of like get in there, if but it usually only, not only works, but it's a lot easier, obviously, if you've spoken with her before, right? So
yeah, so like, I mean, there's so many things that can only be experienced, I guess, in tandem, like if the guys are actually living with you, right? So like the fact that the guys were actually living here, right? Or if they weren't living here, they could stay here, you know, any night they wanted. Maybe they didn't have like their own room, but they could definitely crash here any night they wanted. So like what it led to was like, yeah, you can actually experience that second step where you actually take the girl back to, you know, the private location, right? So like for most guys and for most coaching, like if you, once you bounce the girl, like the guy would have to take the girl to like a karaoke or a net cafe or a love hotel or his own house, right? So it'd be a little bit weird to have like your coach there with you. Like it would be actually be really weird. Like it wouldn't work.
Yeah,
it wouldn't work at all. But because we have such a big house and we can say like this is like, you know, kind of like our share house, our terrace house, and we all live together, then it's normal for these guys to be there. And of course, the girls don't know that, you know, some of the guys are actually coaches teaching the guys how to, like, you know, how to get date or how to seduce girls. So, like, that makes it a lot easier. Your coach can be there in the room with you. Like, he could even talk to the girl and like help butter her up for you, and she won't be like, why is the guy here, you know? Obviously, mm-hmm. like, it's a big house, so
yeah.
it's normal for other people to live here as well. So that's like a huge advantage. And then also there's the time aspect, like if you have to go home and go to your house to go to sleep, or if the girl doesn't know where she's gonna spend the night, then you know, she might leave, there's a higher chance she's gonna leave on the last train. But I mean, when you bring the girl back here and everyone's living together and we're all having a good time, it's kind of really hard for people to kind of pry themselves away from that like really fun interaction,
mm-hmm.
and you know, like really cool house that, you know, normally people, you know, don't get to even see. So it just made it that much easier to keep girls here late past last train. And I mean, it's pretty big. I mean, obviously you don't have to like make girls like miss their last train to have sex with them, but once they miss their last train, the chances that they're gonna hang out and, you know, relax more, drink more, have more fun, and eventually put out, like, increases significantly.
Yeah.
So all of that like can only happen because of immersion, because we're living here together, and like it's just something that like no other program could even hope to offer, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it is, like, they get kind of swept up. It's like, it's sort of like a perfect storm kind of thing. Like, you know, it's like when you're a gamer and you have a strong frame, obviously that has a big influence on the girl that you're with, right? But that's like multiplied if you're with a bunch of people who all together have the same kind of frame. It's like it's multiplied to the point where she can kind of be pulled out of, like, swept out of her reality or swept into your reality, right? And you know, we had a bunch of girls here too who were like living here or staying here all the time, or who are kind of like, you know, we would call them house girls or kind of regular chicks who would be around all the time, right? And so they would obviously help, and that was kind of the coolest part as well. It was like, you know, not only do you have instructors that are helping you and everything, but you have, there's girls there who are gonna, like, you know, the second you know, you if you're pulling a girl or a student's pulling a girl and from the street, and she opens the door, you open the door, you know, there's heels in the Gamcon, and that's such a big thing. She's like, oh, there's girls, other girls here. It's not, I'm not going to get murdered or something, you know, right? Like, and then once you come inside, if the other girls are like really friendly and like, yeah, this is cool, these guys are cool, right? That obviously, you know, validates everything that, you know, about what you're doing, right? So
I mean, it was really powerful, like every aspect of it, like the living together, the house, the other girls here, like the fact that we can stay out, you know, as long as we want, or like we can go out like in the middle of the night to Shibuya, and it's not a big deal. Like, it's a 5 minute, we can go to Shibuya quite easily at any time of the night. So there was times where like 1 or 2 a.m. where like a few of the guys were like, you know what, I feel like going out, and you know, it's like, it was summertime, so like, yeah, nighttime was quite lively.
Yeah,
we would go out at 2 or 3 a.m. and find multiple chicks and bring them back like in the middle of the night and like just have an impromptu sex party, like not even from being out like in the evening, but like going, like starting from like 2 a.m. and like still being able to go out and make it happen. So that's just something that, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, basically it's only possible because of immersion, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's such a huge factor as well. It's like living, having your good logistics close to a major station or a place where you can really game is such a important part, both to like help yourself go out because it's like right there, or even you have to go out to, like, you know, when you're buying groceries or whatever, you have to, you know, getting food, you have to go out anyway, and then there's chicks everywhere, right? But also, like, you know, let's say you pull a girl back and it doesn't go, like, it doesn't go well for, or doesn't go down for whatever reason, right? Maybe she's got to run home, or, you know, maybe she just wasn't like down that time, right? You know, you know no matter what time of night it is, you can still just go back out, right? It's just like a short walk or something. That's so important for, you know, improve, you know, consistency with game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes a lot of pressure. Like, you don't have to like think if this girl doesn't put out, or if it doesn't work, if it doesn't go well with this girl, then I'm done for the night, like this is my last chance.
Yeah.
You don't have to think that way, because you can just think, oh, it's okay, if this girl leaves, I can just go back out and find another girl, like, easily. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, it takes a lot of pressure off of you, and then that way you're able to keep, like, a much cooler frame and be more chill, like, in terms of, like, you know, not being anxious if you're going to be successful or not. Mm. But, yeah, I mean, those are all, like, huge things. I mean, maybe they're like, a bit too big. A lot of the guys, like, their goal was just to get confidence to approach on the street. And we basically smashed that, like, within 2 or 3 days of the program starting, like...
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the guys, they did more approaches in 1 hour than they've done their whole lives, really.
Yeah, or slept with more girls over the course of the month than they have in their lives before then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was a... I mean, it was pretty intense. And yeah, that's a good point as well that you were saying about, like, the... Basically, like, abundance, the idea that you know, you can go back out and get another girl... that's just like another, like, it just gives you that base level of confidence, right? So both proximity to a major station where you know there's going to be chicks everywhere, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, taking massive action, knowing that you have the base ability at any given point to pull a chick, right? It helps you not get overly attached on any one girl, which is actually a good segue to talking about FOMO, FOMO, and, you know, sort of what it means to FOMO over a girl. You know, a lot of people talk about it as like sort of like neediness or something like that, but I mean, how would you describe FOMO?
Yeah, FOMO is like basically like putting too much value into something artificially, or like
yeah,
just in your mind. It's in your mind. So like if you're thinking rationally, if you're thinking cool, like, yeah, with a cool head, then you probably would act differently. But I think especially for men, I'm not sure if it's special for men, but yeah, like, let's just make it about people tend to, like, once they choose to go in on something, then they become like believers of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the case of girls, like, if you, like, you know, if a girl smiles at you in the street, and then, like, you're like, oh, wait a minute, like, so maybe we have a connection, maybe she's special, maybe she's special to me, maybe I'm special to her, and, you know, I like these things about her, and, like, and I'm sure that if I, you know, treat her really nice, she's gonna be interested in me because I like her this much, like, and it's just gonna continue, like, it's just gonna go, it's gonna work out, like, it's there's no way that it's not gonna go well, and this particular person is special for, you know, X, Y, and Z reasons, and then just kind of really, like, letting yourself, like, fall into that belief, because it's really, it's just belief, like, if you were able to step back and think, like, wait a minute, well, she's not that pretty, she's not that interesting, mm-hmm. she's not that cool, she's not that smart. Like, you would, you know, if you were just thinking about it, like, rationally, you wouldn't really put that much value on one person, knowing that, you know, there's probably a lot of people out there that are better than that person, really. So when you lose that, like, rational thinking, and you just kind of FOMO in on something, you put way too much value into it, and that wouldn't be a bad thing if it didn't, like, really backfire every time, because what it does is it backfires every time, it messes you up every time.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, now you don't act cool in front of that girl anymore, because you're just putting too much value into what she thinks and how she perceives you. So you just lose the ability to, like, actually be a cool guy, right? Like, and then they can basically feel that energy off of you. They know, like, there's no challenge there. You're basically, you know, like at their mercy, really. Like, they don't have to chase you. They don't have to win you over. They don't have to, you know, impress you. So one is you're not giving them any kind of challenge. And two, you're chasing them too much. And when people feel that kind of pressure on them, it makes them want to run away. So there's two things, right? There's the actual, like, concept of FOMO, which is, like, artificially putting too much value on something or appraising it too highly. and then the effect of FOMO, which is like, A, you become more, you become less attractive to the other person because you're not a challenge, and also because you're putting so much pressure on them, and you're putting like this, like, you know, artificial value on them, and they, when they feel that pressure, it makes them want to like run away. And what happens is usually, if there's somebody else in the room, if there's another guy in the room who's like, you know, kind of cool and distant and, you know, still friendly and still charming, but not really, you know,
caring.
Yeah, not really caring too much and still kind of being mysterious and not giving away too much, then they're more likely going to be attracted to that guy instead. Mm-hmm. So you basically just chase them away, right? That's what happens with FOMO. Yeah, I don't know if you, yeah, you want to jump in here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of it, and you can even kind of think of it in like economic terms, mm-hmm. like, you know, like you can think of it as like the value in your mind of something versus the value in reality, whatever mm-hmm. that really means.
Mm-hmm.
And it is human psychology, right? So it's like if you're on an island and you have like, you know, like 10 trees on your island, right? Mm-hmm. And you're trying to build like a house or something, you're going to be very careful about how much wood you use or whatever, right? So, because wood is like a scarce resource and a finite, you know, on this island. And kind of in the same way, like if you had, you know, if you had only like, if there's only like 3 girls on the island or something, you know, you don't get that many chances, so you don't want to fuck things up. So you know, you'd be overly cautious about everything and you know, but the world we live in is pretty abundant, right? Especially in Tokyo, there's, you know, millions of girls literally that you can go talk to. So, you know, having too much value in your mind, imagining you're on a little island when you're actually in a massive city full of abundance, you know, that's kind of like how FOMO happens, is you think of yourself as in a scarce situation when in reality you're not, and a girl, that girl that you probably that you think you like so much, there's probably, number one, a lot of reasons why you maybe shouldn't like her necessarily as much as you do, and there's also probably like a lot of other girls out there who are better than her in a lot of ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason to like overly, you know, overly value them. And so we see it a lot. The most common ways guys tend to FOMO is like by, you know, sending too many messages or being really responsive over text, right? Or yeah, like trying to spend money on girls and really go all in on them with their time.
Being too generous.
Being too generous.
Too available.
Yeah. Too available.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are kind of like some of the main ways. You know, showing too much interest too early, or like any sort of like confession. This is kind of another reason I don't really like kokuhakus and this sort of thing. It's like it's too much, too heavy, right?
It's a big turnoff.
Yeah. She wants to have that kind of mystery, right, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then going back to the economic, the economic side of things, there's also the term OPEC, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if you came up with that. Or
I did.
Yeah, so do you want to explain?
Come up with it. Yeah. So basically, I mean, like, OPEC, right? I mean, it stands for something. Oil, petroleum, I don't know, Egypt. Cairo, I don't know.
Cairo.
Yeah. I don't know what it stands for, but basically it's all the oil producing countries, like they kind of have agreements of like how much oil they're going to produce, because if they just all produced as much oil as they could, the value of oil would drop to like the point where it's, you know, impossible to make a profit on it.
Mm-hmm.
So they artificially, you know, make it scarce, right? They agree on how much oil they're going to produce to maintain a certain price so that it's still profitable to actually produce oil. So basically OPEC means to, like, you know, artificially limit something so that it becomes more valuable. And then, yeah, I mean, if you're FOMOing in on a girl, like, sometimes it's really hard to really put the brakes on what you want to do, which is like you want to like, you know, be there, be everything for them, and like, you know, whatever, just go all in on the relationship. But it's, yeah, you know that if you really want things to go well, you have to like stop and, you know, like take time apart and, you know, do not like be so eager to like, you know, communicate with them. When they're around, like let them be alone, let them float around. Do not like just stick to them and like follow them around the whole time. Kind of like give them space, you know, like so basically you have to treat them like if you were just mildly interested in them, right? Even if you were like 100% interested in them, you have to pretend that, you know, like you can you know, walk away from the table at any time. You can take it or leave it at any time. And basically that you're just not that impressed with them. Even if in your heart you really are, you should just pretend you're not. There's a few different ways to OPEC. Like one is just like not invite or not, you know, message, not invite. And kind of, you know, maybe, and it's funny because like I think for guys, like the time frame is quite different. Like for guys, if there's a girl you're into and you don't talk to her for 2 weeks, you might feel that's a really long time, but for the girl that might actually be a good thing. They might be like, damn, like why isn't he hitting me up, why isn't he inviting me, like is he with other girls, like, you know. And then all of a sudden they start thinking about all your positive qualities, like, yeah, he must be with other girls because he's cool and he's fun, he's you know, and I want to chill with him, but he's not even hitting me up, right? So then they're like, what the hell, like what's going on? And then when you do invite them, they're more likely to come out. So for you, those 2 weeks where you're kind of like holding back, maybe it feels like it's too much. Like it's if I don't invite her out, she's gonna lose interest in me. But it's quite the opposite. I mean, yeah, that's definitely one of the good ways to kind of counteract that FOMO with OPEC. And then other more subtle ones are just kind of like chilling and letting the girl talk to other guys. Or you talking to other girls kind of in front of her, not too much. Like, I mean, obviously that could be a point where like it upsets them if you're like giving other girls a lot of attention and not right. them. But if you're at a party and she's at a party and you're floating around talking to girls here and there, they're gonna be impressed. They're gonna be like, damn, this guy's so cool. Like, of course, like, you know, he's popular and you know, basically, it just kind of highlights all of like the good things, the reasons why they should like you. The opposite scenario would be like if you have a girl come to a party and you just like next to her the whole time and just kind of annoying the shit out of her. Like,
yeah,
she's gonna like be like, damn, why doesn't this guy leave me alone? So, yeah, those are, you know, basically FOMO and OPEC are two concepts that kind of, you know, play off of each other.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and the idea of OPEC, obviously, as you mentioned, is like the idea that you can psychologically or artificially or, you know, control your attention as a resource, right? Mm-hmm. So and that they want, like, you know, by withholding your attention or your interest, that increases the value of it, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously, if your attention towards her is too abundant, basically is too easily attained, then she's going to be like, well, his attention, it's not really worth much, right? So some other ways you can do this, of course, is, you know, like by focusing on your own life and whether it's career or, you know, working out or whatever you want to do, your hobbies or something, other girls, basically, like if one girl or, you know, maybe a couple are taking up too much mental space, realizing that you need to switch the focus and focus on something else that's for you, or, you know, or other girls, right? Either way. So if you feel like the FOMO coming in, you're like, fuck, I want to double down on this girl. I want to invite her more, or maybe if I like paid for her to fly somewhere, she would like me more. Or, you know, if I bought her like if I invited her to a nice restaurant, maybe like it would work out. Or, you know, if I message her more regularly, so if you ever feel like you're kind of committing too much and not getting much back, then yeah, it's good to refocus and by OPEC-ing, basically by withholding your attention, your interest, and putting that attention to something else, whether it's for your own sake or other girls or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the girl will come around. Like most of the time when you do this, the girl will feel like a change in the value, and she'll be like, wait a minute, like maybe his attention was actually worth it, and I kind of like ignored it for a while. So they'll often start to chase you then if you do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is also kind of like a fundamental conflict, I think, in approaching girls on the street that a lot of guys have issue with, especially guys who have a lot of pride. They're like, how do I make it where I... Because obviously, by approaching, you're literally, oftentimes, literally chasing after girls, right? So how do you reconcile the fact that you have to actively chase and approach a girl on the street who's not giving you any attention,
mm-hmm.
With the fact that you want her to basically chase you, or her to have some, you know, she should be the one who's kind of coming to you, right? So I think a lot of guys have a lot of pride that holds them back on the street because of this. Like basically they feel like, you know, it's not manly to be running after, you know, to be chasing girls, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, for me it's just the like the outcome, right? If you're outcome independent, I guess is the what we usually say.
Yeah.
Because if you're approaching a girl on the street and you know in the end whether she like goes home with you or ignores you completely or even like rejects you in a rude way, like if you're absolutely, you know, independent of the outcome, like your mental state is not going to be affected one way or the other, that's actually like really, really attractive, right? I think in the street approach setting it doesn't really translate, or actually it does, right? Because if you're talking to a girl and she's ignoring you for a while and you're just like obviously unfazed and obviously like totally cool and collected, do not care like that this girl is like not paying attention to you, she's gonna be like, damn, what is up with this guy? Like, like why is he, I'm ignoring the shit out of him and he's still like just like chilling. She's gonna be like, who is this guy?
Mm-hmm.
And she's gonna be, you know, all of a sudden she's gonna be intrigued in you, right?
Yeah.
Or by you. So that is so one way that can translate. You basically just your mental, like you're not FOMOing in on it, right? You're not like FOMOing on this one girl. Like you're approaching, you're taking the right action, but your mental state is totally cool, calm, and collected. And I think that's really attractive. And then in terms of like escalation, which is, you know, it's actually sometimes I struggle with this as well. Like when you are escalating on a girl and she's rejecting your advances and you are, you know, totally mentally unfazed or emotionally unfazed by it, she's gonna feel a lot more comfortable, like, you know, whether, you know, she's gonna know, like, I can say no to this guy, he's not gonna be angry or sad, or he's not gonna mope about it, or, you know, try to guilt trip me, he's just fine, like,
mm-hmm.
he's taking the right action, trying to move the interaction forward, but he's not emotionally too invested in it, and that kind of gives him a lot of comfort that you're not gonna, like, you're not all, like, that crazy about it. I mean, I've had a lot of girls verbalize as, like, especially talking about Synapse, like when they chose to you know bang him instead of like banging the other guys during immersion, that happened a few times, or maybe it happened a lot, but there were girls at the parties that, you know, other guys tried to have sex with and the girls did not let it happen, but then when Synapse went for it, like it did happen, and depending on the girl, like if I had a good relationship with them, I'd be able to ask them like, hey, why was it that you didn't bang, you know, this guy, but you did bang Synapse? And, you know, multiple times they said like, I just felt that he was okay either way, like he was not, you know, gonna be butthurt if I turned him down, and somehow that is like sexy to them, right? When they feel that you're not going to be emotionally too invested. So I think that's what I mean, going back to like how to like approach without, you know, FOMOing, without chasing too much. I mean, there's a difference between like chasing with your emotions and chasing with your action.
Mm.
You can actively approach a girl, and if you're totally independent of the outcome, they're going to pick up on that energy and, you know, be intrigued by it, be intrigued by your mental fortitude, really. And, you know, also be comforted by the fact that they know you're not going to, like, be... You're not going to have some kind of wild mood swing on them, too. So they're going to be able to, like, relax more and open up more. So that's one way that you kind of can reconcile like FOMO and approaching not necessarily being the same thing.
Yeah, for sure. And also like there's a kind of a balance between like interests and compliance, mm-hmm, like mm-hmm, basically mm-hmm. her interest in you mm-hmm. and compliance, mm-hmm. which is things that you're getting her to do, mm-hmm. whether it's like taking her somewhere or escalating or whatever, getting a line. Mm-hmm. And there's like a tension there. It's like at the beginning, there's no, she has zero interest in you. She doesn't even know you exist, mm-hmm. right? So obviously you have to chase her to get on the radar. You have to go and mm-hmm. like, you know, make an impression, right? Mm-hmm. And then once, you know, through conversation, through communicating, through showing her that you don't really care that much about mm-hmm. her reaction, whether she rejects you or not, she starts to get that interest, right? Mm-hmm. And when she has some interest, then she'll start to comply, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're like, okay, give me your line, she'll be like, all right. Or if you're like, let's go get a drink, she'll be like, all right, right? Mm-hmm. But she does need that interest first, which is, you know, I guess that's the idea of hooking, right? Mm-hmm. And part of that comes from like, yeah, you know, the fact that you don't give a fuck if mm-hmm. she is ignoring you or she's mm-hmm. not, you know, immediately super interested in you, right? Mm-hmm. That create, you know, the fact that she sees you're cool with that creates interest in her, which then leads her to be able to comply with whatever you're gonna do. Mm-hmm. And when she complies with what you do, whether it's going for the line or, you know, bouncing her, she starts to rationalize in her mind that, oh, I'm doing this, so therefore I must like this guy to some degree. So she sort of becomes more consciously aware of the fact that she's actually kind of interested in you, mm-hmm. right? And then that's when sort of the tables kind of flip in a way, and that's when you can pull back more. Once you have some compliance and interest from her, mm-hmm. you can pull back more, and that space, that ability to pull back, will make her start to kind of chase you a bit, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So she'll start to kind of qualify herself, or, you know, qualify herself to you. She'll be like, what kind of girls do you usually like, or mm-hmm. you know, do you like Japanese girls or something like this? She'll mm-hmm. she'll start to kind of, you know, she'll be like, why isn't he giving me as much attention as most guys usually do at the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of, I think, how the tables can kind of flip from you literally chasing a girl mm-hmm. on the street mm-hmm. to them sort of starting to kind of chase you back a bit, right? Mm-hmm. But obviously you need the interest first, and then some compliance, right?
Right. Yeah. So like, I mean, it's kind of like you fake them out a little bit, where like you approach them, but you actually don't care if they, you know, like, you know, you don't need their validation, yeah. or you pull them to like a location, but then you kind of back off and you just chill, like, if sex happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So like, it's kind of like a fake out, really. Mm-hmm. You are like gradually increasing the interaction, advancing the interaction, but then, you know, you're kind of pulling back a bit in action and in your mental state, and they feel that, right? So like, let's say I take a girl home and she thinks like, oh, he's gonna try to have sex with me, but maybe she comes in anyway, maybe she's intrigued or she's curious enough to come home with me, but in the back of her mind she's like, oh, he's gonna try to smash me like right away, right? And then like we just kind of chill on the sofa and talk about music for like 10 minutes, and then she's like, wait, what? Like, oh, like, I guess we're just chilling. I guess we're just hanging out. And then, like, kind of fake her out again and be like, okay, let's go over here. And then, like, kind of, you know, like, show some intent, or escalate further, whether it be by, like, getting physical or, like, isolating her somewhere else, or, like, you know, picking her up and, like, you know, putting her on the bed or something like that. Whatever, like, so it kind of, it you're advancing the interaction, but then also kind of like, you know, keeping them on their toes so that you're not really too predictable, and they kind of feel that pressure of you. They feel the pressure of you advancing their interaction, but then also they feel the pressure coming off and kind of giving them a little bit of room to breathe, mm-hmm. and then kind of putting that pressure back on. So, I mean, it's really nuanced, right? Like when we try to put these things into words, like yeah. It's crazy how nuanced it is. And that's another, I mean, like going back to immersion, that's another cool thing, is because you can explain it all day and like people will not understand it, but once they see it, mm-hmm. Then yeah. like it's a lot easier, you know, once you're living it, like, you know, every night, every morning, you know, every afternoon, you're seeing the coaches like do it, by example, mm-hmm. then I think it's a lot easier to you know, kind of rationalize. Like, if you weren't in that environment, it would take like a good year of like failed, or not necessarily failed attempts, but it would take a good year of doing it on your own to really get a feel for like how it works. But then, yeah, like I guess during immersion, you know, you were basically able to like fast forward the process quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's quite easy to see as a third party when someone's being like too sticky or too interested or too clingy, and then like then you can kind of just pull them aside and be like, yo man, just like chill a little bit, or do this a little different, or the flip side, sometimes guys will get in, you know, they'll overvalue the girl, they'll FOMO or whatever, right, to the point where they're like, even though they brought this girl they never knew she existed before that day, they brought her back to the house, but they're like, I kind of like her, so I don't want to, you know, like, I don't want to escalate and ruin things, right? Mm-hmm. So that's like, that's, like, you know, the FOMO can start pretty quickly, really, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, okay, like, you know, you always know it's a problem when they start saying, like, I don't know, I want to reg her, or I want to make her my girlfriend before they even hooked up with her, right?
Mm-hmm.
In their mind, they're already overvaluing her existence, right?
Yeah. So they basically start walking on eggshells around her because they're putting too much value on it. So it's a weird balance, like being too intent, being too like aggressive and emotionally invested is not good. Being too emotionally invested and having that paralyze you and not be able to act is also not good. I mean, honestly, like, I guess the easiest times to bang a girl is when you actually literally don't care, like, if you bang them or not. And like, you pull them and, you know, like, maybe they're physically attractive enough or cool enough. But, I mean, if you just have that level of abundance and, you know, basically, I would say confidence, or, you know, like, just kind of self-assurance, or, like, you know, basically the interaction, the result of the interaction doesn't define you in any way as a success or failure.
Right.
Once you have that mental stability and you just pull a girl off the street like it's nothing, and, you know, basically a seducer like it's nothing, and smash like it's nothing, like, for the girl, that's the most exciting thing, really, because it's like, wow, like, this guy's like, he knows what he's doing, like, he's so, like, mentally in control.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, that's just something that they pick up on. They really do pick up on it.
Yeah. And it's like, it's kind of a paradox in a way, right? Like, that's why it's so hard for guys, like, learning game, is because they're like, obviously, even the process of thinking about learning game, right,
mm-hmm.
means you're thinking about how to improve the results of something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but like, the flip side is, if you're thinking about the result, you don't get that result,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is weird, because in most things in life, it's like kind of the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow in this field of the psychological field, right, it's like, you do want to be, somewhat emotionally detached, while still being able to, you know, have some interest in the girl and still being able to push the interaction forward.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have the actions, your actions should be moving the interaction forward.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you got to make sure you keep your mind in check and, you know, not get overly attached or overly invested in these girls, right? So it is a tricky, it is kind of a bit of a paradox, a bit of a mind fuck. And I think that's kind of like where it can be quite hard for a lot of guys trying to learn this. They're like, shit, like, I'm going out, I'm approaching a lot, maybe I'm not getting that much results, right? And you know, I see guys talking about getting results and they talking about it as if it's nothing or whatever, right? Like, how do I get there, right? And it's tricky, because, like, maybe they pull a girl from the street or something, like, it's finally happening, right? And then they overvalue it because, you know, they're like, shit, like, it's a chance, I gotta, like, you know, do this correctly, right?
Mm-hmm.
They kind of overvalue that one interaction and fuck it up because they're overvaluing it, so...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why it's, like, it's good to kind of be reckless with your each interaction and, like, go all out and, like, try to make something happen. Even if you fuck it up, it's gonna be much better than, like, walking on eggshells. Right.
Yeah. And then I guess there are, like, specific do's and don'ts that you kind of learn. And there are a lot of things that can be taught, but then like they're still like situation specific. So I mean, what I mean to say now is that like you just have to do it like hundreds of times so that every scenario that plays out, you're like, you have a kind of, you know, like a precedent of like, well, last time this happened, like I did this and it worked out perfectly, or last time this happened, I did that and it didn't work, so I better not do that again. And you kind of have to build up your own experiences to be able to like make those judgment calls on the fly. And there are these are things that we can, like, if you know, like we can teach or like, but like it's not going to be very valuable if you're not actually putting it into practice and internalizing all of these like different scenarios that play out and all the kind of the correct things to do at that time. So I had one SNL recently, like pretty hot girl, like in my book she was basically gorgeous, like I really liked basically everything about her, like she was like definitely an 8 or a 9 for me, like met her off the street, you know, I approached her, talking to her, she's ignoring me. I push forward, she like opens up, I kind of nonchalantly like pull her to like another, we take a walk to another location, we take a walk to the house, like I was able to bring her into the house. Yeah, everything's going like perfectly smooth. Actually, like I'm making all the right calls, even though I'm pretty excited about this opportunity, like I'm quite attracted to this girl, like it's like 1 in the afternoon, and like I really want to make it happen. So like in my mind I feel the FOMO like starting to creep in, like I really want this to go down, but I know what I have to do, I know like how I have to like, you know, control my emotions and like be cool, calm and collected. So I pull her upstairs once, you know, try to like, you know, escalate on her, like pick her up, put her on the bed, like feel her up, like I'm feeling out her boundaries, like what she's okay with, what she's not okay with. She doesn't want to kiss, she'll let me like kiss her neck, she'll let me like touch her legs and her butt, but like nothing underneath the panties. And I'm telling her, like she's saying that she doesn't want to have sex, that she just met me off the street, it's the first time, she doesn't do this kind of thing, she's Japanese, blah blah blah, giving me all the typical, you know, lines that I've overcome hundreds of times. And I just knew that I had to, like, I felt like I was, like, you know, like, diffusing a bomb or something. I knew that, like, I had to play it perfectly or she was going to, like, run out of the house. Any wrong move, and it was not going to, I was going to mess it up for myself. So, but I kind of knew exactly what I had to do. I backed off once. We came back to the living room, chilled. She kind of, like, you know, I don't want to say she calmed down, because it's not like, that she was, like, stressed out about it or anything, but she just kind of, like, you know, like just relaxed. Like we came back and just relaxed, just talked some more. And then after a few minutes, like I pulled her to a different room and again, like started escalating on her and talking to her and was kissing her neck. And I could feel that she was getting a little bit more horny, a little bit more like open to it. By this time we had been together for like about two hours, right? And this is like, I think it's a milestone for me, because usually if like after a certain amount of time, if they're not down, like I just kind of burn it to the ground, which means that like I'll escalate to the point where they will leave. And then in my mind, when I burn it to the ground, like if it works, good. If it doesn't work, good, because they leave and then I can do something else with my time. I don't have to like, you know, be stuck in this interaction. But this time, I really wanted to make it happen, and I knew that I was, you know, if I played my cards right, it was gonna go down. And then I tried to do something a little bit different, you know, like we were on a big beanbag in the gym, and we just laid, and like I kind of felt that like just being like laying next to each other quietly was gonna be the right move, and we just kind of like sat there in silence and kind of felt like comfortable with each other, and I felt that was kind of like the tipping point. Like I think a lot of guys feel that they always have to be, you know, like doing something, right? But at that point I was just like, man, like I just don't care, like we're just chilling, we're just sitting here like doing nothing, not even talking, and I could almost feel like her comfort level was rising. And then when I went back in, started kissing her neck again, started feeling her pussy up again, she like opened her legs for me, and I knew it was on, right? Like, I got the, you know, I got the finger in there. I started like fingering her, pulled her panties off, and it was a done deal. We had sex for like an hour. Ended up staying together like from like 1 to 5. And it was just awesome. Like, and I felt personally that, like, you know, like it took all of my skills that I built up over the last almost 3 years. It's gonna be almost 3 years since I started doing street approaches. Basically, all the skills that I've accumulated in the last 3 years were kind of like came into play in that one SNL, which was great. At the same time, I had other SNLs where like it was just totally easy. Like, the girl was 1,000% down from the moment that she walked into the house. Like, I probably could have just like taken her clothes off in the gank on her in front of her. So like, yeah, it's there's different levels, but that particular SNL I felt required a lot of skill, which I luckily did have at that time. So I was at the right place at the right time, fully prepared. So yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, that's another thing as well, is like a lot of guys have kind of like a hang up about daytime, like, you know, just the fact that it's bright out and people, you know, maybe a little early to drink alcohol, and you know, guys get kind of nervous, like, I had a guy say, like, yeah, his dick doesn't work when the sun's out. And I'm like, okay. He's like, he thinks he can't bang girls when the sun's out, basically. Okay. Which I think is funny, but, like, it's real. Like, people think that. So it's even, you know, it's cool when you can pull, you know, in the middle of the day, stone cold sober. And
What else did you have in your notes?
So moving on to talking about the ecosystem. So a lot of like going out by yourself and just gaming, or, you know, maybe with some friends or something, going out and gaming, doing street a lot, you know, it's solo warrior sort of style, right? There's obviously a lot of good things to it, right? Obviously, you learn like to depend on yourself, and you learn that you can make it happen. You know, it's really empowering. But I want to talk a little bit about the differences between that and the skills you gain and everything, compared to like creating an ecosystem or creating like a network, whether that's has to do with venues or hobbies or friends, where, you know, you get the system working for you essentially, right? Which is kind of like what we've been doing after. So Immersion happened. We became promoters as well at one of the most popular best clubs in Tokyo. And obviously, because we know so many people, it's quite easy to get a bunch of girls there. And, you know, we get in free, we get, you know, tables and bottles and stuff. So it's quite, for us, it's like an ecosystem that we've kind of built, right? But it is, I just kind of want to touch a little bit about the difference between you know, just gaming solo and pulling for yourself and, you know, catching your own fish and eating it versus like, you know, creating an ecosystem, a team or something that where everything works in your favor, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, for me, like, the ecosystem, as far as I can tell right now, because it's still a fairly new, it's not a new concept, but I think it's become a lot more apparent or like visible, or like the effects of the ecosystem are a lot stronger now in the last year, maybe thanks to this house, or like thanks to, like, you know, like Synapse, like moving back from Osaka, or like, you know, maybe like Dorian Gray being more active, because I guess because we're kind of asking him to be more active to like help us. So like I think we're seeing the effects of the ecosystem a lot stronger in the last year, but it's still kind of fairly new thing. As far as I can tell, there's two layers, or two, like, I don't know, planes of the ecosystem. One is like the actual physical, like locations and resources. And basically, like, you know, it has to do with like the city, like the venues and houses as well, like where people live, where friends live. So like you have your you know, the actual physical locations that matter. Like if you have, you know, a few friends that live in the same neighborhood and you guys can use each other's like houses for different purposes or different reasons, or to bounce girls here and there, or like you're familiar with the venues, you kind of build up your own, how can I say, like you build those relationships in for, with those specific venues, so that when you take girls there, you know, your people treat you differently, or they give you some kind of, not respect, but I mean, maybe it is respect, but I guess the best word is clout, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you go somewhere and people know you and they think you're cool and you're friends with most people there. Maybe some people there don't like you, but that's something like, like that always happens with human interactions. But for the most part,
especially if you're doing well, people are gonna like try to find something they don't like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I mean, yeah, there's like the physical venues, the places that you can go, and then there's the relationships on top of it. Like when you have like good connections in those places, and you can kind of leverage those relationships and those venues to kind of, I don't know, like really like maximize your game. And everything kind of plays off of each other. Like it's a beautiful thing. And it's just something that's totally much higher level than being like a solo warrior. To the point where, you know, I mean, I don't know, it just opens up a lot of opportunities. If I was to give like one quick like example is, you know, maybe normally if you were hanging out with a girl and she wanted to go clubbing and you were just a solo warrior, you'd probably take that girl to the club. And if you're there, like if you're just a little unlucky, you'd probably be like fighting off other guys trying to get mm-hmm. your chick. And like if she like, you know, gets drunk and like, you know, decides for some reason that she's into some other guy, you know, like you never know, like she might even like leave with somebody else. Like you might like go and get your just chick like you're taking from you. That's like the worst case scenario.
Yeah, I've had that happen before.
I mean, I did have that happen to me. Yeah, actually I also experienced that one time. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, like if you have the connections, the relationships, the venue, like, and you know this girl, like you want her to come out and she's not really even trying to chill with you, but you tell her, yo, let's go to the club, I got a table, I got bottles, I got like my friends are coming, and she shows up and you are the man, like everybody knows you, like the people at the entrance, the security, the bar, the promoters, the managers, the DJs, everybody's your friend, your friends are there, your crew is like the most lit, everyone's having a great time, they're gonna be like, who is this guy, like he is the shit, right? And then you're gonna show them a great time. And if you're leveraging those relationships, that you might even be getting paid to do that. And you're gonna, as we say, we fill her fun meter. Like when girls, like when they've had a lot of fun, like basically anything goes, right? Like I've had girls verbalize this where they say like tension が高ければ何でもいい. Like if they're just in the fucking right, in the right atmosphere, the right energy levels, they will like, you know, eat another girl's pussy, like they don't care.
Right? She did, that girl anything. Did, right?
The one that said that did eat a girl's pussy, that's
good points. Yeah, and the fun meter thing is important for parties as well too, obviously, like girls that come to a party, a house party or whatever kind of party, club as well, mm-hmm. they do need to get that fun meter filled, and then they're down to fuck usually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're grateful to fuck.
Yeah, they're grateful.
Yeah, doing the clubbing, the promoting thing, I've that's something I never experienced before, like with being your lone wolf and you like, and you kind of seduce this girl and she kind of like, oh, like yachata, like yeah, like he got me really horny and like he got me to the point where I kind of just wanted it. But then like at the end of that, they might be like, ah, oh, fuck, like I kind of wanted to hold out for more, I kind of didn't really want to let him hit it so fast, or you know, like basically you seduce them, right? You like, you sucked them off their feet. But like with this club thing, like taking them out and showing them a great time, like you take them home and they like, they want to fuck you, they're like, yeah, please, like let me fuck you to like as to show my gratitude,
it's your gratitude for
a great night,
for a great night.
Yeah
I mean that it's really, really works out well. I mean we've you know, we regularly get like, I don't know, I mean before, right now we got the second lockdown, so we've been kind of chilling, but we were bringing like 40, 50 people a night, mostly chicks, right? Like about 2-1 chicks.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so easy because like you just mass invite everybody. They're thankful for the invite. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, either they come and then you can kind of pick which, you know, if you're getting a lot of contacts as we are, like especially I like he's got a pretty good memory for oh, this girl she does this or something, but I like often can't remember who, like I can't remember this, who's this girl, this one, so just like invite them all, and when they come then you see and you're like, okay, I guess I do like, I like this girl tonight, she showed up, and so I want to bring this girl and this girl back home. And you know, at the end of the, you know, spend a few hours in the club, collect, harvest that clout, and just bounce her out. But yeah, like this is just the way that we're doing the ecosystem idea. But I think the concept in general could apply to a lot of other things, not just going to the club, right? Like, I mean, another thing we've been doing is having sort of weekly salsa lessons. We just started this actually at our place, because we have kind of a gym studio in the basement here. So that's kind of like another sort of potential ecosystem type thing. We're just starting out with that, so it hasn't quite, you know, fully manifested yet. But, you know, like basically having, you know, and I guess this could also go into inviting girls for different kinds of things, right? Because if you're always just like, I mean, my default is like, basically what I want to do if there's a girl that I like is I want to sit in my house and drink a Chuhai with her and then have sex with her, right? But you know, obviously it's not very like attractive to her. Obviously if you have a nice place it helps, but you know, she's gonna kind of, it's not gonna lure her out in the cold if she isn't already really down, you know. So it helps to have different kind of cool activities where you also, like, you know, you can share that activity, and it helps if there's some sort of easy way to make it back to isolation as well. Mm-hmm. So the salsa is another thing. You know, there could be a lot of other, you know, there's guys who are photographers or videographers who do their kind of thing. Like that's kind mm-hmm. of another little ecosystem. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of kind of different examples of ways in which, you know, I know a guy who runs like a fitness kind of club, fitness group or something, right? And he does, in the people who come, it's like 80% girls or something, so that, I mean, that works for him too. So you know, there's a lot of ways, and you know, you obviously got to think about your own personality and what you want to be doing, right? Like I mean, I don't even really want to be in the club all the time, but you know, it's fun every once in a while, and like the rewards are good based on how we built it out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the ecosystem idea is interesting, just creating. And then the other, I don't know if you were, there was like another, you were saying like there's two levels or something.
Like the relationships and the locations.
Right. Yeah, so people are another thing. Like, you know, obviously because we have so many girls in our orbit that some of the guys who, you know, who are out a lot, who are really working hard to game a lot, and, you know, can pull, they themselves can pull girls, we sort of like bring them around, and they, you know, they end up hooking up with girls that we've invited, right? Mm-hmm. But it's sort of like there's give and take there, right? Like they'll come by and like bring girls over and be like, yo, I gotta go home in 10 minutes, but here, take this chick and let me leave her at your place, and then, you know, try something if you want, and then they'll just go home or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then maybe next time they come and there's a girl that we had over, and she's, you know, that guy gets with her or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of another part of the ecosystem, obviously. Like you said, relationships, like if you can get into sort of a symbiotic kind of relationship where it's win-win for everybody. Mm-hmm. And you're all trying to, you know, help each other kind of, mm-hmm. you know, win, and yeah, that's obviously great, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's, I mean, there's like basically, yeah, if you have other guys who are, you know, kind of confident enough to, you know, get girls out, and, you know, meet them off the street and get them out and party with them, then, you know, like, it's going to be, I mean, basically just kind of sharing the wealth, right? Like, you have a lot of, I have a lot of girls around me. I'm meeting girls all the time. I, you know, bring them out and then, like, basically let the chips all fall where they may, right? At this point, like, you know, we're not, like, I mean, we're really not following too much on any one girl. Like, it happens occasionally, but for the most part, like, we just kind of cool. Like, if whatever girl we bring over, like, if she fucks one, two, three guys, like, we don't really care that much. I mean, there are times where, like, you know, I still FOMO, obviously, because I'm, we are just human, right? Mm-hmm. So there are times where like we do FOMO for some reason, but at least we're aware of the issue and we can kind of try to fight it mentally.
Mm-hmm.
We can take action to kind of like tone it down. But sorry, that's kind of getting off track. What I really want to talk about is like a lot of different guys who are kind of bringing the same or similar levels of value to the table. Mm-hmm. And then now there's like a whole lot of value on this table and everyone's enjoying the benefits. And you know, like in my case, like, you know, I mean, I'm quite prolific. I go out a lot. I meet a lot of girls. I text a lot of girls. I invite a lot of girls. I get a lot of girls out. And, you know, sometimes it's more than I really need, or, you know, like, I mean, I have enough that, like, I don't mind if my friend, like, gets to smash, you know, one of the chicks. Even girls that I FOMO a lot, you know, like, there's, you know, one girl I really liked recently. Oh, by the way, I broke up with Momo. Like, that was, yeah, from the last interview. Yeah, that's been over for a while. But yeah, but like one girl I was quite into recently, and like she smashed two of my friends, and I did not care at all. Like, that's totally fine. I only care if she smashes me or not, right? Or one girl that I brought, that she was quite sexy and she didn't let me smash, and she smashed my friends, and I can honestly say I do not care that she smashed my friends. So happy for them that they got in it. Like, that's great. The only thing I cared about was that I didn't get to smash it. I was pretty fucking salty about that. I was pretty salty about that. But I was honestly in my heart happy that my friends got in it. Like, that's cool, you know, that's cool. I'm glad that they got in it. And then, you know, they also, my friends kind of went out of their way to make sure that like they brought some girls around, or after that happened, like one of my friends, he kind of set up a date with this girl that I thought was quite sexy, and he didn't take her out for dinner. He brought her here and ordered food for us, and like we all ate and chilled, and then like I was actually the one who got to take her upstairs and smash, and I'm pretty sure she would have smashed him too, but like he didn't really go for it that hard. But anyway, he kind of set it all up for me. I was pretty happy about that. And then my other friend also, like, always, I mean, basically Synapse always bringing girls around too, so like in the end, like it's all good. Like, I've, you know, there's so much value on the table that like you can't not have fun, really.
Yeah. Ecosystem, good, building good relationships, making things win-win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's too much. Like, we just have too much. We have way too much access to sex. Like, even just yesterday, man, it's just a joke. It's easy, man. Like, it's just kind of too easy. At least in terms of just like having sex, like, it's not very challenging anymore.
Yesterday was pretty funny. Like, we just showed up at a club, a different club than we promote at, but we were asked by some DJs to go. We brought like one girl with us, but then we were like, all right, like I was like, I'll go step out and like make a lap, see if I can bring some more chicks or something, right? With another buddy, brought two girls back in, you know, into the club. And then one girl showed up at the club who I had actually randomly been messaging before. I didn't even realize who she was until we were in the taxi on the way back with, you know, me and Summerflower and two chicks. So, and then it was a great night. I mean, we smashed everybody, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's just funny, like, how things kind of line up like that. Yeah.
Another cool thing about that is, like, for example, the girl that we took yesterday, like, she is super down with us, like, super chilling with us. She comes out to the parties, she fucks, she's sexy, like, she's young, she's cool, and like, well, basically we really like her, and she's quite keen to hang out with us. And I don't think she would be, like, if it was just me inviting her out to just do something one-on-one, I don't think she would be that keen to come and chill. But it's me and my friends and other girls, and she doesn't care if I fuck other girls. She doesn't care if I fuck other girls that same night. Like,
she's
super chilling. But if it was just me and her, like, she probably wouldn't find that as exciting or interesting or fun. She probably wouldn't come out to just hang out with me one-on-one. I mean, she probably would occasionally, but not as frequently as she does. And so, like, we have a lot of these girls that they're, they want to hang out with us just because we're fucking cool guys, like, and we have cool other cool guy friends, and we have a lot of girls around us, and like basically they know we're never gonna like FOMO after them or make the relationship weird, because we're fucking, yeah, we have abundance. So they're very happy to just like be in our orbit, and also they're free to like, you know, come and go as they please.
It's sort of like a secret cool. secret club or something that, you know,
yeah,
like a speakeasy or something. Yeah, some sort of like they they're, you know, people can let loose and act on their desires if they want, or do whatever, right?
Yeah, if they want, if they don't, yeah, whatever they want, really.
Whatever they want, yeah.
Whatever they want, really. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah, and the girls as well. I mean, that they're part of the ecosystem too, right? And then, you know, so they, it's a win-win for them. They can express themselves sexually. They can bang whoever they want to or not or whatever, right? And come around and chill, right?
So, yeah, that's one interesting thing, like, recently that I found is, like, in the kind of group setting, like, or just, like, just from having so much abundance, is that sometimes I can really just, like, listen to girls in a way that I never could before, like if it's a solo interaction, like, just, if you're just, like, kind of lone wolfing, you're interacting with girls, but always in the back of your mind is, like, okay, so how do I make sex happen, right? But then, like, we're at a point where, like, I can chill with a girl and, like, I could really actually listen to what they're saying. And it kind of sounds weird to say, but these girls, like, some of these girls, they're just saying, like, ridiculously hilarious shit. Like, I don't think I was, like, realizing that before I got to this level of game. I didn't really realize how funny, like, girls are. Like, they just say all this kind of random stuff. I think back then I would have been like, okay, like, she said this. Like, how do I, you know, how do I, like, take this conversation into somewhere sexual? Well, now I'm at the point where, like, I don't care. Like, I guess at the end of the day, I'd rather have sex than not have sex. But, like, I don't care. So, like, I'm actually kind of more in tune or listening to girls more and, like, picking up on, like the kind of, I don't know, like, I'm, in a weird way, I kind of, like, humanized them for me. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's controversial to say, but, like,
yeah.
I see them more as people than I used to. I used to just see girls as, like, girls. But now I just kind of see them as, like, awkward men.
awkward men. Awkward men. They're pretty funny, man.
They're funny, man.
Yeah, the chicks are pretty funny. Massively, like, a lack of kind of sense of responsibility about anything. The girls who are, like, quite pretty really do have no sense of personal responsibility, right? Like, they'll just flake on everything, cancel everything, not commit to everything, or whatever they commit to, they'll back off of it. And, like, it's almost like the fact that society, you know, like, dotes on them so much, it really, like, destroys any sense of responsibility a lot of them have, right?
And they lose their phones so much. Like, they're always losing their phones.
Always running into tables and getting bruises on their legs.
Yeah. And you know, that's another funny thing from yesterday. Is, like, they don't mind when you, like, not steal their phones, but, like, confiscate their phones.
Yeah.
they're usually quite happy about that.
Yeah. the one girl was... Oh, I remember. She was from Harlem. That's where I originally met her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, she was just texting some guy, I think. And I just, like, took her phone and was like, all right, I'm going to take this from you for now. Because I didn't want to, like, because we were getting the taxi and everything. I didn't want her to, like, you know, like, not come with us. And, you know, I knew she was, like, you know, she was 1,000,000% down to come and chill and hook up or whatever. But I didn't want, like, some dude to call and then, like, her to be like, oh, my God, I got to go. This guy's angry or something. So I was like, I'm just going to take your phone.
Yeah, she ended up staying till like 5 a.m.
Yeah, she was chilling.
Yeah, it was so cool. It was so fun. Yeah, she loved sex. She did love it. That was a great time. I didn't even expect that. Like, honestly, we weren't even trying. We were just, like, showing face, really.
Yeah.
We weren't even really trying to get lit yesterday, man. Like,
yeah.
We were just kind of going for our DJ friend and just to kind of check it out and maybe, like, to add, like, an Instagram story that's not in Shibuya for once. And then in the end, we just had a great time.
Yeah.
It's
All right. Well, I think it's a good time to wrap everything up. Yeah. Thanks again. Thanks for, for joining. And see you guys next time. Demolish the like button if you enjoyed the content. All right. Peace out, everybody.
Yeah.